Well, to begin, like I said, I'm going to give a short teaching on prayer. And what I'm going to be talking about is what to pray, what should be the content of our prayers, and how to pray, and what manner should we be praying. And so first, I want to focus on what to pray. And what I mean by this is including adoration, confession, and petition in our prayers. And so I know in my life, as I go into prayer default mode, my prayers sound a lot like this. Lord, thank you for this day, and I ask that you would dot, dot, dot. And basically what I do is as quick as possible, I try to jump to petition. And so we see in the scriptures that there's not only examples of how to adore God and how to confess our sins to the Lord, we're not only commanded to do that, but it's so important that we spend time in prayer adoring God, confessing our weakness and our sinfulness to him, because that actually fuels our petition and helps us to ask God rightly. And so recently I saw this in my own life. Rebecca and I had an evening that was a little bit more tense, and the last thing I wanted to do was be a sacrificial leader as Jesus is to the church. But it was time to pray, so we came together in prayer. And rather than jumping straight to petition, we wanted to spend some time adoring God, confessing our sins to the Lord. And so by spending time adoring God, reflecting on who he is and what he's done for me, there was no other response than confessing my weakness before him and how he has been faithful to me, but I haven't been faithful to sacrifice and serve my wife. So then as I got to petition, I'm able to now ask God with a humble heart. And so that's been so helpful for me so that I have a big view of who God is as I come to him in prayer. And so in adoration, what we see is two different facets: praise and thanks. Praise is not necessarily things that God has done, it's just praising him for who he is. So we might consider praying along with David in Psalm 145 as he prays this: "Great are you, Lord, and greatly to be praised. Your greatness is unsearchable. You are gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. You are good to all, and your mercy is over all that you have made." So that's what it looks like to praise God for his character. But secondly, in adoration, we want to thank God for what he has done. We want to worship him for all the good things he has done for us. And so we might even consider in Psalm 118, as we read with the psalmist here, he says, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His steadfast love endures forever. Let Israel say, his steadfast love endures forever. Let the house of Aaron say, his steadfast love endures forever. Let those who fear the Lord say, his steadfast love endures forever." So what's the point that's being made here? It's pretty obvious. Everyone give thanks to the Lord, for his steadfast love endures forever. And so we see here commands and examples of how to praise God, how to give thanks to him. And then we move to confession. And the first thing we should confess is anything that the Holy Spirit has been laying on our hearts, any way that we have thought sinfully, acted sinfully, and it's been weighing down on us in any way. We're commanded to cast our cares upon the Lord, to confess our sins. And so that's where we start with confession. But secondly, because we've spent time praising God for who he is, thanking him for what he's done, that's going to lead us to confess as well. So for example, if we praise God because he's king, and we thank him that he has brought us out of the kingdom of darkness, brought us into the kingdom of light, then we might move into confession and say, "But I've been giving into lately to the slavery of the old self, and I've been walking back into the kingdom of darkness, and in particular, I've been struggling with bitterness," or whatever it is. And so we're able to, because we praise God for because he's king, it causes us to think about, and how am I following him as king? Am I walking in the kingdom of light, or am I walking in the kingdom of darkness? And so that leads us into confession. And then as we move into petition, our first request, if we have been confessing our sins, is, "Lord, forgive me. I've sinned against you." And we have so much confidence as Christians that he will be faithful and just to forgive us, because it's Jesus who has justified us by his work on the cross. But after that, I would encourage all of us to have some form of organization to what we're asking God to do, how we're asking God to move. And so before, I used to have a prayer list that had so many different things on it, and I also wasn't as faithful in prayer, and so by the time I got back to number one on the list, it was about 3 months later, and I didn't even remember really what that situation was, and so having this long list was very unhelpful for me. I forgot about all the things that I had been praying for. And then I think I wanted to move to, let's just be more natural, anything that the Lord lays on my heart in that moment, let me pray for that. But in both of those situations, I think there's many times that I prayed and asked God to move in a certain way. He answered my prayer, and I had no clue, because I was not being mindful at all to be looking for God to move in these different ways. So what's been transforming in our family is we have about a list of about 15 things, and every time we come to prayer, we choose about 4 to 5 things on that list, pray for those, and we're constantly waiting and looking to see God work in miraculous ways as we're praying for those few things. And so some of you might be able to have a longer list, but make sure it's manageable so you're able to be watching and looking for God to move in those specific ways. So we talk about what to pray, adoration, confession, petition. Now I want to talk about some ways of how we pray, namely boldly, confidently, and reverently. So boldly, if we think about our status before the Lord, how the holy God created us to worship him, and we have willingly chosen to sin against him, and he is a God who is angry against sin. So it's an amazing thing then that we are called to come to the Lord boldly as we pray. And we know that we're able to do that through the work of Jesus, not by anything in and of ourselves. I want to read to you from Hebrews chapter 10. As the author writes about this, he says, "Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain, that is through his flesh, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith." We need to remember this because Satan is a tempter of all people, including the church. And as he tempts us to sin, he's an accuser of the brethren. Satan wants to tempt us to sin. He wants to accuse us of sin. And when we do, if we're not resting in Jesus for our boldness in prayer, we're not going to be inclined to come to the Lord in prayer because we're going to feel unworthy. Because we are. We're unworthy in and of ourselves to come to the Lord in prayer. And so we have to find our confidence in what Jesus has done. But generally speaking, I feel like in the American culture, we don't struggle too much with boldness in prayer. I think the typical person who lives however they want to pray, however they want to live, feels like, yeah, I can pray and the Lord's going to listen to me and he's probably going to answer me, rather than realizing that by their sin, they've set themselves up as enemies of God. So I think what we really need to do also this evening is reflect on the privilege that we have to come to the Lord with boldness, and reflect on where we are apart from Christ in God's eyes, and then how amazing it is that God receives us and desires for us to come to him boldly because of what Jesus has done. So for those of us who have struggled this week to be consistent in our time in the Word, we haven't read the Bible for a week, we can come to the Lord with humble boldness. You find yourself and you've just finished yelling at your spouse, you can come to the Lord with humble boldness. You've lusted 4 times today. You can come to the Lord with humble boldness because it's not based on your performance. It's based on the performance of Jesus. Next, I want us to look at how we're called to come to the Lord confidently. And I want to read to us from Luke chapter 11. In Luke 11, Jesus says this, "And I tell you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds. And to the one who knocks it will be opened. What father among you, if his son asks for a fish, will instead of a fish give him a serpent? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" Praying to the Lord confidently is so important for many of us, and many of us struggle in this. We might think, what's the point? God never seems to answer the requests that I bring to him. And so first, I want us to consider having a holistic understanding of prayer in the scriptures. Not just Luke 11, but realizing in Luke 18, Jesus challenges believers to pray persistently. Don't give up in prayer. And so he's implying, you're gonna pray for things and you're not gonna see God answer that prayer request, and keep praying. So Jesus encourages us to persist in prayer. But secondly, here in Luke 11, what we see here is that God is going to give us what is best for us. So many times we pray and we ask things that we think is good for us or best for us, but we see that God is the best Father, and he is going to give us good things. And he's proven that by giving us the Holy Spirit, which is so good for us. He is so good for us. And so we can reflect on that. But secondly, we might think, well, why pray? If God is sovereign, then what's my prayer going to accomplish? God's just going to do what he's going to do. And that's true. God is in the heavens and he does what he pleases. But we even see here in Luke 11 that God acts because we pray. We see in Exodus 32, God tells Moses, hey, the Israelites are sinning against me, so I'm going to destroy all of them and make a great nation out of you, Moses. And Moses pleads with the Lord, asks him to spare the Israelites, and it says that God relented because of Moses' prayer. And so we see God is in the heavens, he does everything he pleases, and we also see God acting and changing because of prayer. And the verse that really tied both of these thoughts together for me was in Ephesians 2:10. It's talking about how our salvation is by grace alone. And then Paul says that he has saved us for good works, that he has appointed for us that we should walk in them. And what better work is there than prayer? If prayer is not a good work, then I don't know what is. And so what we can see through this is that God saves us, and he calls us to pray in these certain ways. And then because we pray in these ways, he acts and moves so that as he responds to our prayer, he gets the glory. And so that's how all of that comes together. And so we can pray confidently. But we can also pray reverently and should pray reverently. And in particular, I want to talk about our posture before the Lord and our choice words. So in the scriptures, we see outward posture, people standing to pray, people lifting their hands, sitting, kneeling, looking upward, bowing down, beating their chest because of their sin. We see many examples of how people had an outward posture of prayer. And so we know there's not one outward way that we should pray. We know that God is not concerned with outward appearance, but he looks at the heart. And so our question is, are our hearts humbled before the Lord? What is the posture of our hearts? But secondly, we should consider, is our outward appearance, our outward posture, reflective of an inward reality in our hearts? So for example, if I right now was getting a little tired sitting in those chairs, if I wanted to take a nap, what I would do is I would kind of stretch a little bit, close my eyes. I can't really lean back because that's hard in those chairs. So I'd probably put my hands on the seat in front of me and rest my head on my hands, rest my forehead on the chair in front of me. And I just described what my prayer posture is many times sitting in those chairs. And so by that doesn't mean you can't pray reverently while doing that. But what that means is, if I'm getting into nap position when going to pray to the Lord, I'm probably not coming to the Lord reverently. I'm probably just going through the motions. And so it's important for us to consider what would help me to focus on the Lord the best. Standing right now, standing and lifting up my hands, kneeling, sitting, and for all of us to consider that. And we can even practice that tonight as we pray in just a moment, is what is going to help me to really focus on what I'm doing. And so our posture is important, but it is our inward heart that the Lord is looking at. And finally, we want to consider our choice words. In Ecclesiastes 5:2, we read this: "Be not rash with your mouth, nor let your hearts be hasty to utter a word before God, for God is in heaven and you are on earth. Therefore, let your words be few." We need to remember who we're talking to. This is our Creator, this is our King, this is our Savior. And if we put the same amount of thought into our prayer to God as we do to a text message to a friend, then there's something wrong going on there. And all of us have been guilty, myself definitely included, of just coming to prayer and rattling something off, just as I would rattle off a text message. And I couldn't even tell you maybe at the end of that prayer what I prayed at the beginning of that, because I was just kind of bouncing around ideas in my head as I was praying, rather than having choice words and saying, "I'm praying to the God of the universe. Therefore, I'm going to think hard about what I'm saying to him." And the goal is not to just say really short prayers, but the goal is that we would come to the Lord reverently in prayer. So that was short. I hope that was helpful on what to pray and how to pray. The rest of this evening is going to be on us praying in small groups for our church and our community. And then at the end, we're going to spend some time praying for specific individuals in the room this evening.